Hello and welcome to Inside the NYPD, the official podcast of the New York City Police Department, broadcasting from police headquarters in Lower Manhattan to our listeners around the world. I'm Jesse Peterman. This week we talk to counterterrorism expert Bruce Hoffman and update you on traffic conditions during the busy holiday period. We begin with a podcast interview. Dr. Bruce Hoffman is a RAND Corporation Chair in Counterterrorism and Counterinsurgency. He also serves as the director of RAND's Washington office. He has almost 30 years of experience studying terrorism, terrorist, insurgency, and guerrillas. Here is the NYPD's Jason Post.
Dr. Hoffman, 4 years after 9/11, what is the state of Al-Qaeda, and are U.S. strategies to counter the terrorist threat effective?
I think the state of Al-Qaeda is clearly that it's a weakened organization, that it's a shadow of its former self and a remnant, but we shouldn't be deluded or be under the illusion that it's completely lost its power and that it's not capable, or at least certainly that it's not attempting, planning, seeking to resurrect itself and deliver some kind of a knockout blow like 9/11, a spectacular attack that would catapult them back into the limelight and back into the headlines and enable them to reacquire the same degree of fear and anxiety that existed right after 9/11. That said, I think we have a number of successes in the war on terrorism that accounts for Al-Qaeda's weakening. As President Bush has often said, the fact that we've killed and captured 75% of Al-Qaeda's leaders, that between ourselves and our allies throughout the world, we've apprehended upwards of 4,000 Al-Qaeda operatives. We also succeeded in destroying Al-Qaeda's training camps, operational bases, and command and control headquarters in Afghanistan right after 9/11. And all of those successes and all of that progress in the war on terrorism has resulted in Al-Qaeda having to change. It can't do business. It can't operate in the same way. But that's the good news. The bad news is that this is an enemy that is unbroken. And even confronted with the monumental strength of the world's remaining superpower, even with the onslaught directed against them in Afghanistan and since by the United States and its allies, what we're seeing is that this is not just a very formidable, very determined, and very resilient adversary, but also one that's extremely, or in fact highly, adaptive, and that has shown themselves capable of adjusting and responding to even our most consequential countermeasures. So I'd say we've made tremendous progress, but the fundamental issue is that this is going to be a very long struggle, not least because we have a very determined adversary that is constantly aiming to resurrect itself.
Has the decentralization that you described of Al-Qaeda reduced the influence of the organization?
Well, it certainly weakened it in the sense that Al-Qaeda was never completely monolithic, but it certainly has much less of the command and control abilities that it once exercised. But I think this is a trade-off that Al-Qaeda's leaders have very consciously adopted and indeed accepted. I think that they've come to the realization, or came to the realization, that in order to survive, in order to promote their longevity, they had to reconfigure themselves from the unitary terrorist organization that they once were, more to what they exist as today, I would say an enabling ideology. Now, that's not to say that there still isn't an Al-Qaeda central that's planning, plotting, and attempting to carry out a major terrorist attack. I believe that still exists, but their ability to do so is severely weakened.
What do you see as the role of municipal law enforcement in counterterrorism?
Increasingly, I think one finds that all the evidence points to, you know, and we talk about, you know, a top-down approach with the federal government in the lead, which I think is enormously important in getting to states and municipalities, not just the resources that they need, but also the intelligence. But at the end of the day, I think the evidence in recent years has shown repeatedly that terrorism is best and most effectively countered at the local level. It's, in essence, the cop on the street that we're going to turn to, not just to be the first line of defense, but to be actually the key identifier of a potential threat, and will have to use all the abilities at this local municipality level to counter what is, after all, a transnational threat. And this, I think, is the foremost challenge that we face, is that we have to bring municipal and local law enforcement up to a level of professionalism and even global familiarity that's almost unprecedented in history, given the nature of the threat. I think fundamentally it's not only local and municipal jurisdictions acting on their own that's going to be key, but it's forming a synergy and interacting and cooperating with one another to an extent that hitherto hasn't existed. The reason I say that is that our adversaries, I believe, constantly attempt to identify the gaps in our defenses or to navigate between the cracks of our protective measures. And I think one of the things that they've identified is not so much necessarily to operate in the cities, to attack in the cities, but to operate and to use the suburbs and surrounding areas as bases. I mean, this was very much, I think, the template from 9/11. And I believe this reflects their belief that suburban or rural police forces will not have the intelligence, will not have the sophisticated anti-terrorism training that urban jurisdictions would have. And what this means is that there really has to be an unprecedented level of cooperation between municipalities in multi-state areas and across geographical and also administrative divisions that really is that are very formidable to overcome, but that transcending them is more important than ever just because of the way the terrorists have identified these gaps and attempted themselves in the past to navigate between them. So what we really require is greater synergy, not just at federal, state, and local level, but across local municipalities in surrounding areas.
Dr. Bruce Hoffman of the RAND Corporation, thank you very much for joining the NYPD podcast.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Now a traffic update. We are in the peak holiday travel season. All New Yorkers are encouraged to take mass transit. For city bus and subway riders, the MTA is offering a holiday bonus program. That means half-price fares on weekends for MetroCard holders. Also included in the holiday bonus is the week between Christmas Eve and the day after New Year's Day. That is from December 24, 2005 through January 2, 2006. For those who must travel in Manhattan by car, the city traffic plan designates gridlock alert days, when traffic conditions will be at their worst. Upcoming gridlock alert days are Friday, December 9th, Thursday, December 15th, Friday, December 16th, and the 3 weekdays leading up to the Christmas weekend, Wednesday the 21st, Thursday the 22nd, and Friday the 23rd. Also, to provide additional vehicle capacity for the holiday season, the park drives in Central Park will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Finally, a word on joining New York's finest. The NYPD offers a job with a future, a great place to serve, and a chance to advance. For more information, call 212-RECRUIT or visit us on the web at www.nypdrecruit.com. Thank you for listening to the New York City Police Department podcast. For Inside the NYPD, I'm Jesse Peterman.